Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our study of the book of Malachi. Last week when we gathered, we read through Malachi chapter 1. We learned of how God would reject the wicked offerings of his people and would in turn reject those who rejected him, and that his covenant would be open to the Gentiles over all the earth. We also talked about burning of incense in the scriptures and how we see it both in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in heaven, and throughout church history. And tonight we dig through chapter 2. So we begin with these words. God once again is talking about his covenant and also his priests. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we are condemned to hell as sinners. But faith in what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf, faith of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb, are what save us. But we still approach him in reverent awe. Much like a child should approach his father or his mother, we know that there is to be respect. Not a fear that we are going to be driven away eternally, but a fear in respect. That while God is holy and he demands our perfection, out of his great love for us, he did it all on our behalf. But that is why we still have reverence in the divine service. The Lutheran Church does not give away her tradition. The Lutheran Church holds on to what has been handed down, not because it's old, but because it is God-fearing. Our liturgy stands the test of time, not just because it is old, but because it is a right confession of who Jesus is and what he has done. We are reverent. We don't have lights streaming or fog machines. That's not why we gather in church. We gather to hear his word. We gather that he might serve us, and in return we offer our thanksgiving, our sacrifice of prayer, of returning ourselves to the Lord. And so we are reverent. You will not see me running around this stage like a madman, hopefully. We are reverent, hands folded in his presence, because we know that even though we don't deserve it, Jesus Christ comes to us. He decides to be with you, dear children, because he loves you. And so his priests of old, his pastors today, his people come before him in reverence. That is why we gather, to hear his word, to receive his sacraments. We are saved by the death of Jesus Christ. That is what saves. But we receive the benefits of that death through the waters of holy baptism, through the bread and the wine that give us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, through the words of holy absolution pronounced to you. Those lips proclaim to you the gospel truth. We also don't stand before God and only proclaim the gospel. Because what good is a gospel without knowing that you need salvation? What good is a savior if you don't need saving? He continued, the law of truth was in his mouth, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We could pack our sanctuary week after week. We could give sugary, sweet messages and cupcakes and rainbows, but that's not why we're here. We exist to preach God's law, to point people to the cross of Jesus Christ, to create repentance in hearts that they fall to their knees and cry out to him for forgiveness, and that they know that when they leave this church, They have received that forgiveness. That is why we're here. That is why we exist. And while there are many out there who have changed their entire messages to try to appease the world, that is a failure. Because ultimately, God will stand as judge. Every pastor will have to give an account of those charged to him. Was he faithful or was he faithless? He continues, "You have corrupted the covenant of Levi because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." Well, gee, pastor, don't you know that that part of the book of God isn't so popular anymore? Don't you know that society has gone forward and the church needs to stay with the times? I don't really care, because I care about what God says. I don't care about what world is following after, what it is chasing. I care about what the pure word of God proclaims. We should not show partiality in the law, because when we start to whittle it away, when we start to take the Bible and say this contains the word of God instead of is the word of God, we start to allow a flood of all sorts of perversions in. At the end of the 1960s, some of the church bodies that would become the ELCA began ordaining women, even though the church had always stood with the word of God on this from the beginning. And now they ordain anything and anyone. They now also openly proclaim that Jesus is not the only way to the Father. There is a church in good standing in California that has replaced the Our Father with the Our Mother. They pray to God as a goddess, and yet they are in good standing. We do not chase what the world chases. Even though they might all turn away from him, even though they might try to appease the culture, we are bound to the word of God. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. It's not fun to proclaim the truth when you see hurt in someone's eyes. But what is a joy is when the truth is proclaimed and hearts are changed and repentance comes and that person rejoices that Jesus Christ has died for them, that Jesus Christ has pulled them out of their wretched state, and that he has forgiven them. God loves marriage, and he hates divorce. God desires marriage for life. He desires that that would be a joy between two people. And he says that he seeks godly offspring. Children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. We should receive them with joy. We should receive them in thanksgiving. We should not mock people who choose to follow God's will for their lives. Whether he chooses to bless with one or none or 20, each one is made in his image. It is precious. It is a delight. Yes, sin happens. Yes, destruction happens. And when that happens, we return to the cross. But that doesn't mean that we don't proclaim the truth, that we don't let people know what God's true desires actually are, so that we can fight, that we don't just give in to the ways of the world, we don't give in to the ways of our emotions. When we feel like we don't love someone anymore, we just get rid of them. No, we fight. And sometimes separations do occur. But trust God. Believe in him. Malachi finishes this chapter, "In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of justice?" Should the church condone sin? Does that actually help anyone? Or does that not, in essence, sign over an eternal death guarantee? Because if the church doesn't tell you when you have sinned, if a pastor will not tell you the truth of God's word, then who will? And so we remain firm. We build each other up. We rely on each other. We lean on each other when the world seeks to despise us. we proclaim the truth. The church sings. My hosannas and my palms graciously receive, I pray thee. Evermore, as best I can, Savior, I will homage pay thee. And in faith I will embrace, Lord, thy merit through thy grace. Amen.